The Free Library of Philadelphia is proud to present a podcast from our award-winning author events series, recorded live at the Parkway Central Library on the Benjamin Franklin Parkway. To learn more about the Free Library, our unique and inspiring collections, and how your contribution can help our programs and services for the community, please visit freelibrary.org.
Welcome to the Free Library of Philadelphia, and thank you so much for joining us. I'm Laura Kovacs, and I'm honored to be here. Over the years, Gabrielle Union has been a tireless advocate for the marginalized and the victimized, and fans around the world have watched her both on and off screen stand up to and speak out against injustice in its myriad forms. She's an actress, executive producer, activist, and a Time 100 cover honoree. Her first book, We're Going to Need More Wine, Stories That Are Funny, Complicated, and True, was released in 2017 and instantly became a New York Times bestseller. She returns to the Free Library with her new book, You Got Anything Stronger?, which has been called a masterclass in authenticity and vulnerability. Today, she will be joined in conversation with Angie Martinez, a media trailblazer originally known as the Voice of New York and author of the New York Times bestselling memoir, My Voice. Thank you so much for being here. The screen is all yours.
Well, thank you so much. And I'm thrilled to be here. And thank you to everybody at the Free Library of Philadelphia. Thank you, my fellow Times bestselling author Gabrielle Union, for agreeing to this conversation today.
Of course.
And isn't that a cool club? Isn't that a cool club to be in?
I love this club. This is the best club.
It's a great club. Congratulations, baby. Book number two. Here we are.
I mean, look at us. Can you imagine all those years ago when we met? We were like, I don't know where this journey's going to take us, but let's enjoy the ride.
And here we are. But as somebody who's done a book, I understand two things. Number one, how much it's like, you know, you do a movie or I do an interview or whatever your career is, you just put a lot, we put our heart into that. But something about writing and telling your story is a deeper level of sharing. It takes a lot of time. So it's a big commitment. And for me, and I wonder about this for you, when you meet people in the street that say they read your book and connected to it, isn't it a different type of connection and appreciation that you have?
Oh my gosh. It used to be like, oh, what was it like to kiss Will Smith? What was it like to kiss Jamie Foxx? And you're like, okay, or bring it on and bring it. And it's kind of like those kind of quick interviews. But then after the first book came out, and it was like, that people would literally share their deepest, darkest secrets. And it was like, thank you for your book, because I found the courage to acknowledge my truth. Mm. And that's a different interaction. And those interactions I appreciate more. And I know how necessary they are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I'm sure I could feel that. And then you're so honest and so vulnerable in your writing, and it's such your voice, but it's also funny. And this book is the last book was the same way, and this book too, funny, honest, vulnerable. So you'll cry, you'll laugh, you'll have all these emotion, this emotion with it. So I'm sure the interaction with the fans is different for those who read the book. One of the things that you're transparent about at the beginning is your your struggles with having a baby.
Yes.
And I don't know, something about the way you said it made like, I get struggles and it's challenging. And I know friends who have experienced that, but the way you said it made you feel like less than a woman, like your womanhood was questioned or challenged. Maybe you could talk about that a little bit, why you really wanted to share that, especially so vulnerably, and then also how you get on the other side of that.
Yeah. I mean, I wanted to share it because there's so many of us who've had the struggle, mm-hmm. you know, who've been on a fertility journey that doesn't have a happy ending. And while you're along that journey, what you notice is that women who don't have kids, for whatever reason, there is a distrust. There is at times a disdain. There is a maligning of women without children. And there is no consideration for, you know, women who want children and have not been able to have them. and you see how pregnant women are revered and how mothers are revered, and you want that. You want to be trusted. You want to be honored. And if it's what you want more than anything in your body, it feels like your body is betraying you. Of course, you're going to be like, oh, I'm not even a woman. I'm not even a human. I don't count. I have no value. I have no worth. And then it all goes inward, and it's just a tsunami of terror at times. You know, will someone find out that, you know, that I'm a loser and I'm not even human, that I'm not worthy of any of this? And you wonder, like, you know, for me, does my husband love me less? Mm. You know, once we were able to, you know, have Kav, I always wonder, would she have loved me more if I was able to bond with her, you know, for those, you know, 9-10 months?
Really? Do you still have those feelings, or has something changed, turned this around for you?
No, you still question it. It's like it's that little nagging thing in the back of your mind. And
yeah, I don't know.
You'll never know, because I'm never gonna have a different journey. Experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know anything else but that trepidation. You know, it's like usually like the mother has that time, and it's the father who's like trying to figure out how to bond and get that time in. But me and Dwayne were both coming into it, you know, without the physical connection. You know, I mean, biologically she is our child, but you know, I didn't cook her. So when we met her, you know what I mean? And you know, so when there was blowback about the skin on skin, you know, when people were like, why is she acting like she had a baby, blah, 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 blah. And it was like, you know, that skin on skin bonding, I needed that, because that's all I had, because I didn't have 9 months of her, you know what I mean? Building her heart within my body. So I had to have that. My husband had to have that, because that's all we had. And to be maligned for that was like, oof. But for all of us who have been on these fertility journeys and it didn't end up the way we wanted, I just wanted women to know that I've been in that same boat of feeling worthless and feeling like I have no purpose and feeling like, what is it all about? And I hate the feeling of the distrust that society has, you know, for women who, you know, for all different reasons, don't have children. Mm-hmm. You know, like when you're like, you know, if we're all hanging out and someone says, you know, oh, do you have kids? And they're like, oh, no, I don't want any kids. And the looks that go around the room of like, oh, she's an animal.
That's so funny.
You know what I mean? It's like
the fascinating thing is, from the outside, you know, we all follow your life. I mean, some of us know you, and then it's, you know, we all follow your life. You seem so all the way together about everything all the time, and you seem so, you have so much joy in your family and joy with your child and your children in general, and you're such a supportive mother, not only to, you know, to all of your kids, that I think people just wouldn't think that you are having those experiences. So I really think it's amazing that you chose to share that. But also, number two, that you were able to give it words, because, you know, you could have those feelings, you could mm-hmm. just be feeling like, but don't have the words. So you having the words and sharing the words then gives other women.
Yeah. You know, like, if I'm like, yo, Ange, how are you doing? And you tell me like, you know, man, it's been a little rough. I'm not having this challenge or that challenge. Then it frees me up to be like, me too. Ooh. Oh my God. How'd you get over that? Okay. Who'd you call? What are the resources that you use? How did you get over it? And it breeds community. But if I'm like, yo, Ange, how are you? You're like, fine. And it's literally like an inferno going on behind you. Now you've closed the door on community building, and you're breeding isolation. Right. And I don't want to breed isolation, because we're all struggling in some kind of way. Mothers, you know, women who, you know, don't have children, working women, stay at home moms, we're all struggling in our own way. There is no one right way of how to be a woman or how to exist on this planet. But sometimes we close the door on building community and understanding. And that it sucks. And nobody wants to feel alone.
No. And when you go to share, to do all this sharing, because you share about, you know, horrific experiences you had in your life, fun partying with people at parties and karaoke and things like that. You share stuff about your husband, and, you know, everybody knows he's younger than you. He's 10 years younger than you. This section, you talk about how that works for you and why that works for you. So when you do these stories and you share this stuff, do you worry about what them reading it, or even Kavya when she's older having to read some of this stuff, how it's, or do you block that out when you're writing the book?
No, like, you know, because after the first book, you know, and talking to my parents, understanding them differently based on some of their reactions to my first book, it just caused me to ask more questions. So it was like I was meeting my parents, who they really are as human beings, for the first time, you know, as a 40 plus year old woman. And it like never occurred to me that they had other lives or other dreams or other adventures and antics. Like, you want to know your parents. Like, I want to know them. You tend to make them superheroes. You know what I mean? And I just never occurred to me to ask follow-up questions. So in writing this next one, you Got Anything Stronger, I had different conversations with my parents and I learned new things. Like the fact that I just learned that my dad knocked a motherfucker out at work when he was on the line, you know, for calling him a nigga. Like, I was like, I would have been telling this story. Like, I would, every conversation, I'm like, well, you remember the time I knocked out that motherfucker? Like just hearing about this, you know what I mean? Yeah. And, you know, I just want to remind us that we don't get our parents forever. And when they pass, I want us all to know who they really are, not who we need them to be or who, you know, we've made them out to be, but who they really are and the fullness of their life beyond just being our parents.
Yeah, I want our kids to know that too, by the way.
Yeah, and so when Kav reads about me, yeah, like you're gonna read about the struggle in that first chapter and how the process to, you know, to her arrival was a little treacherous. Those waters were choppy. But she's also gonna read that, you know, don't mix Ex-Lax with Hennessy and go to the strip club. Don't do it.
There's a great story in the book about the Ex-Lax and the strip club that everybody must read. If you have your books, and by the way, there's a whole bunch of Q&A here. We're going to get to some of your questions. So if you have your books, and I don't want to spoil it too much for you, but you definitely want to make sure you do not miss that chapter. It is hysterical. And your affinity for strip clubs is very transparent in the book as well.
I mean, I love women. I love men. I love sexuality and sensuality, and I love art, and dance is art. So whether it's, you know, there's a pole involved or it's modern art or it's the ballet, I have an appreciation for people who perform and who are comfortable in their bodies. I don't go to the strip club to try to save anybody. I go to the strip club to enjoy the exchange of vibes and energy. And you know, in Miami and in Atlanta, the strip club is just where you go after the club. There's great food. Somebody's uncle and auntie might be in there. And it's just the next.
That was always an excuse that guys said to go. It's like the chicken wings are amazing.
No, they're bomb. That's where I first had lemon pepper wings. So when I heard this song, I was like, yes, I know those lemon pepper wings.
Of course.
They don't actually exist in other parts of the country. But yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. So just so everybody watching, I see some people asking, is this audio only? We can't see you, but I can see all your questions. So make sure you put in the bottom, there's a Q&A section, add your questions. And then towards the end, not towards the end, but maybe like halfway through, which we're creeping on already, I'm going to get to some of your questions. I do want to talk about a couple of specific stories in the book. Page 85, you taking Zaya to the Pride Parade. Such a beautiful moment and beautiful story. Maybe you could just share a little bit about that moment.
Yeah. So we were going to have my family calls me Nikki, Nikki Zaya time. And so we were going to go to this brunch. It's this drag queen brunch the design district, or no, actually not design district, Wynwood in Miami. And so that was going to be our little Sunday, and we invited some friends. And so when we called to make the reservation, they were like, this is kind of crazy, but would you ever be interested in being on our parade? It's Pride in Miami. And we have a float, like the restaurant had a float in the parade, and our theme is Bring It On this year. And crazy, you called to make a reservation. Would you ever want to, you know, be a part of Pride with us? And so I was like, gotta ask my date. So I asked Zaya, you know, would you ever want to go to Pride? You know, and she was like, what? I've always wanted to go to Pride. And I'm like, always? What do you mean? You've never said anything. And so I was like, I've gone to Pride all over the world. We can make Pride happen. We can make Pride happen in any city. Yes. Okay. Awesome. And so I was like, if we're going to go to this Pride parade, we need Zaya's entire village to join us and walk alongside the float along the on the along the parade route. And so her whole village, her whole support system came out, including Cobb in her rainbow onesie. Like, you know, we had like teachers and tutors and her siblings and like all of our family and friends, and everyone was walking alongside the float. Dwayne was away playing out of town, but he was like, make sure you, you know, send me videos and pictures. And Zaya climbed up on that float and she came alive. Like, you think you know your children, but when you create community and you expose your children to their own community, you watch how they blossom. And Zaya became Zaya on that float. And just watching her be like, oh my God, there's so many different ways of existing and they're all beautiful and real and I can see them. And I, oh my gosh, it was like Disneyland for her. And to have her family there to watch this and to support her was, I mean, who would have thought? I just didn't. You
know, and she'll remember that for her whole life. She'll remember that experience forever. Yeah. And you know, the thing about how amazing you guys are with her and supportive of her. And I think about our kids in general, even Kavya, you know, everybody knows Kavya. She's a little baby celebrity now. Yeah. And I think about how you have thick skin, you've dealt with social media and the internet, and you know, not everybody's friendly and not everybody's nice. And when you put yourself out there, you're subjected to the good and the bad that comes with it. And where your kids are concerned, I wonder how much that worries you or how you handle that. Because Zaya especially, you know, there are a lot of opinions and some of them are ignorant and mean. And she seems to be.
Well, because she doesn't see them, because we disabled her comments. On her page, you know, unless she follows you, you can't leave a comment. Yeah. So when there are comments.
She's subjected to the world, to this evil, this mean people, evil people in the world. So she's had to experience some of that.
Well, for whatever reason, people just can't wait to tell her all the evil crap that people say. So you know,
I might have just felt victim to that. Okay, I will.
No,
but that's that's a learning moment too, because you're right. You're right. We all have to be mindful about.
Yeah, I mean, if you can see on her page that her parents have taken, you know, the necessary steps of disabling her comments to limit any kind of negativity that she's going to experience on, you know, on the comfort and sanctity of her own page.
Right.
Then perhaps don't call her and say, oh my God, there's this blog post. Like, did you see it? And that's, she found out because she had other people in her life early in her life that, you know, when she was, when we were living in Chicago, and she wasn't, you know, she wasn't out as trans at that point, but she was in the community, you know, she was in the LGBTQ plus community, and, you know, our family knew, but it wasn't a need to know the public.
Public thing.
So she's just standing by her cake, And it became this huge conversation, this child standing by a cake about, you know, the gay agenda. I'm like, no one said a thing. She's standing by her cake in her full, as who she is. And we love her exactly as she is. You all are putting things on her and making this child standing beside a birthday cake into this wildly negative thing, and you're demonizing her very existence. And people felt the need to tell her about all that commentary. So at 10, she was like, I'm afraid to exist. I'm afraid to be me, because look at all the crazy things that people are saying. And some parents would be like, yeah, then don't act like that. It's like, well, that's, she is who she is. And it is our job as parents to create the sanctuary. The world is going to be the world. But when you come home, we want you to be your full, you know, complete self. And we love you exactly as you are. And you lead us into what you want us to share, you know? And so when Dwayne was doing his documentary on the last year, you know, of him in the league, a lot of the footage of Zaya was when she was little, because the Zaya of today wears different clothes, you know, hair is different. And I don't know if they were afraid of giving something away, you know, because by that time she's
comfortable and
said that she's trans at that point. But they were like, well, if we include that footage, it's gonna, you know, lead to X, Y, and Z. And Zaya heard us doing, you know, one of the interviews. And she was like, afterwards, she was like, can you make sure they use my name? And we were like, well, if we explain that you are Zaya and not your dead name, you can't just drop that. Like, there's going to be some follow-up questions.
Yeah.
Right. And, I don't know if you're ready for that. And she was like, I want my name. I need you to use my name and my pronouns. And we're like, okay, as long as you understand what that means. And we had to go through all of the steps of what that means and what can come. And she was just like, I want my name. And we had, as her parents,
rule the world. She's going to rule the world. That job.
You know, we had to figure out how to create the sanctuary for her to live her truth and for people to respect who she is. And so we are doing that, but we are often led by Zaya and her comfort level and where she's at. And most of the time she is dragging us behind her because we're like, pump the brakes. Hold on. We're not ready. And she's like, exactly. You're not ready. I'm ready. And you're holding me back. And it's like, are you trying to protect me? Or are you trying to protect yourself? Mm. And when parents get asked that question by your child, it's a lot of soul searching.
That's, you know, because that's one of the things I was saying, even with Kavya also, you become mama bear. And then you're like, when they're in the world and they're public and you have all this energy and stuff, you kind of like want to protect them from all that. But
yeah, I mean, well, Kavs is different because she represents such hope for so many people and just pure joy. So you go through her comments.
Shadiness. Like, don't take away the shadiness.
Yeah. It's like the random comment about like her hairstyle, something like that. But it's not like they're
opinionated
for very existence.
Yeah. 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 For sure.
You know what I mean? So as long as it stays something positive and a source of joy, you know, we're not going to, you know, disable those comments or limit, you know, her page. But if it ever becomes something negative, we have no problem being like, and that's enough for that.
part of the program is over.
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah. Her little shady faces are the greatest thing ever, by the way. Those. I don't know how much time I got. I have like four stories I wanted to ask you about. There's a really good page 116 Janet Jackson story. And it made me think, because this story, she talks about an audition that, and I'll let you tell it a little bit, but you talk about this going on this audition, and it made me think you could have probably a whole book about your auditions and your audition process, because the notion of you, because now we look at you super successful and you, but that process of you being in the streets and going through those auditions, I'm sure there's a lot of stories, but this one is pretty good. So 116, the Janet Jackson story.
Yeah, this is about learning to find your best self within
your own.
Yeah. So to me, back in the day, in order for me to feel okay and worthy and competent and like a badass mom, you know, like that bad B, blah, 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 I had to listen to Janet all day while I was getting ready. I wanted to like physically transform into Janet. So I took-
auditioning for the Matrix movie, right?
For the Matrix movie, yes. Yeah. At Warner Brothers.
Yeah.
So in preparation for this audition, because everyone, of course, and their mother was auditioning for the same thing, I wanted to channel Janet. So I took the picture of her from this album cover and I was like, I need this Janet hair from, you know, from Extensions Plus in LA. Shout out to Extensions Plus. And they always keep the good hair in the vault. So I was like, listen, I need that vault hair. I got a big audition coming up. And she was like, okay. So I literally get this weave put in to look exactly like Janet on this album cover. I go to the thrift store to find those exact, like perfect distressed Levi's that she wore that kind of hang low, a little baggy, rips in the jeans, bought the cropped t-shirt, earring. You know, I was drew on the mole like a psycho.
You took it too far with the mole. You took it
way too far with the mole. I'm in the audition and in walks Janet Jackson.
Yeah.
Same thing. And now I'm a weirdo creeper. And she's like, you're a weirdo creeper. Whoa. Cut to neither one of us gets it. And it's probably because I'm such a weirdo. They were weirded out. She was weirded out. I was weirded out. But yeah.
The moral of the story is.
The moral of the story is be yourself. Janet's doing amazing being Janet. I have to figure out how to motivate myself to where I can feel amazing and competent and gorgeous and hot and this, all these things, badass within myself. Thankfully, we are friends, and she forgave me for being a weirdo.
So funny.
But there's more to the story, but it's in the book. So
make sure. It's in the book. You guys gotta read the book. And by the way, there's countless. We could do a 6-hour thing of just the funny stories in the book, because it really is broken down that way. But I do want to get to some of these questions, and some of them are really good here. I hope I say your name right. Fauzia Muhammad said, what long-standing beliefs have you questioned after becoming a mother?
Oh, that you have to have an answer for every question your child asks. I remember thinking my mom must be a professor, because she was like a walking encyclopedia. She seemed to have an answer for any question. Doesn't matter the topic, she had an answer. And then later I was like, that actually didn't track. That was not true. You gave me an answer to shut me up, but that was not a fact that you just gave me. And so now what I realize is I don't have to have an answer for every single question. I don't know is actually an answer that more of us should embrace. Your children will actually respect you more for saying, you know what? I don't know, but let's figure it out together.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know is my favorite. That next to I don't know is like, I'm doing my best.
Yeah.
because we always set these like high standards for ourselves. It's like, we have to do this. But it's like, if you're doing your best, there's really nothing else. It's like, after that, it's like, leave me alone.
Yeah.
I'm doing my best. I don't know. These are great for the good. These are great.
Good question. Let's figure it out.
Exactly. All right, let's see here. Ashley White says Kavya is such a delight, which she is. I'm glad that you're so open and you share her with us. What's been the most challenging part about motherhood so far?
With Kavya, it's understanding that she is exactly who she is. She came out, her soul was intact, you know what I mean? And clear. And I can't force her into any direction. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can guide her to be, an educated, a learned girl. Mm-hmm. I can make sure she is courteous and understands manners, and I can make sure she's respectful and hope that she is compassionate. And by leading by example, I can present her with every opportunity under the sun. But who she is and what she gravitates to is, and how she chooses to express herself, that's, she was born with that. And it's my job not to control it or to try to snuff it out or to try to make it mirror my life. It's okay that your children are exactly who they are. It does not make you a failure that they don't like the same things that you like. It doesn't make you a failure if you've made a 5-course meal and all they want is yogurt. Go-gurt. parent of a young child who knows
clearly about something go-gurt. You're dealing with.
You know what I mean? So being okay with a lack of control. Mm. I'm like, which struggle with.
Yeah, I bet. Okay, talk about, this is Jamila Payne. Hello, Jamila. She said, talk about your partnership with New York and Company, and what future business or career goals are you excited about that feel a little scary or will stretch you? That is multi. Well, many, many layers to that question. But yes, it's a good one.
I feel like that might be one of my friends in here. It's like, ask about the New York Company. So I feel confident that I can announce it now, even though it's
technically. Oh, there's an announcement?
We are back. We are relaunching. You know, New York and Company filed for bankruptcy during the pandemic, unfortunately, and a lot of jobs were lost. And we were hopeful that there would be another company that would come in and kind of save the day. And the Sadia Group came in, and they wanted to try to reimagine New York and Company and figure out a way of bringing back the Gabrielle Union line, and we did, and we've been working long and hard.
By the way, you know, I already tell you, I don't ask you for things, and I don't want you to send me anything. I order things from the line. I have many pieces from this collection. I have I have two jumpsuits. I just wore the denim jumpsuit the other day. I pulled it out of the back of the closet. I still wear that one.
there'll be more. I'm on right now. You guys can see it.
Is this parts of it?
Yes, it's
this is cute.
Like faux leather. Yeah, this is a top and bottom matching. It's like a gaucho pant. But yeah, there's a whole new line. We'll be doing even more drops than we ever did before. We have an all new creative team. The website will be easier to navigate. We'll have all different kinds of body types showing you the clothes, on the site, so you can have a better idea of how things will fit. We're really,
yeah, you're a certain size and you see how it fits a girl another size and you think, oh, that's cute. And then you put it on.
You're like, it gets home and you're like, we're excited and they'll be available next week.
That's amazing. That's great. And then, so what about future things that you're either scared of or that are going to stretch you?
I think the baby line that we announced proudly, me and my husband, in partnership with A-Frame, that we created in the last 2 years to create a baby care line that centers the need of melanated children. Because if you have any type of melanin, you have different skincare challenges and needs. So we need much more moisture. So, some of those, they call them legacy brands, the brands that have been around a long time, they've never centered the needs of melanated children. We've kind of had to make do and then come up with different concoctions to account for the lack of centering of our needs. So we built a company from the ground up, and piece by piece, person by person, every person in a position of power looks like the community that we are reaching. And that is incredibly important. They're all parents of color. And we created the company of our dreams, a more equitable, a company that where our morals and values are not compromised. With every relationship and partnership that comes out of Proudly, everyone needs to be in alignment. It's not about gouging the community because we recognize a need. It's about making sure that we have effective products for melanated kids, that are widely available and actually work. So we have diapers, we have wipes.
When does that come? Do you have like, when will we start seeing that?
You'll start seeing it top of 2022. Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice. There's a lot of people saying they're going to start calling you Nikki now.
Oh, please. I answered that fast.
they say you're their friend in their head. So now everybody wants to call you Nikki, which is really cute.
Oh, the Bitsy's line. Sorry. We've expanded Bitsy's. We have, all kinds of
full. Is that your friends in the background? Tell them about Bitsy's. Yeah, about Bitsy's.
Bitsy's, yes. Bitsy's will be available in Walmart, and now we'll have many more shelves. It was just snacks, and now we're offering meals and drinks and the whole gamut. We wanted to really blow up that idea that health and wellness for our children should not be luxury items that are only available to the select few who have those kind of specialty grocery stores in their neighborhoods. We wanted to make sure that we had affordable, tasty snacks that have flavor profiles that we're actually familiar with in marginalized communities, which means we need some seasoning, but they're still healthy. We wanted to make sure that we had more offerings and that they were available to all, and to make sure that the price point stayed low. We don't want to price anybody out of the solution. So these are the things we're working on. All of it scares me. I'm praying that there are no missteps, but I know that I'm going to make them. And I just have to hope I can remain humble enough to receive, the dressing down when it comes. And instead of getting defensive, I just pull out a notepad and pen, and I take notes. And so I can be better, not defensive. So those are some of the challenges.
That's good. You got a lot on your plate, lady. Got a lot on your plate. And by the way, she's also got a book on her plate, just if you haven't got to tell a friend. So somebody here, let's see, I just found it. Oh, Sandra Davis says she loves you. She loves your family. She wants to know two things. Are you going to bring your book tour to New Jersey? Mm. And what will your next movie be?
Well, funny enough, I was filming in New Jersey all summer. I was living in Fort Lee. Whoop, whoop. Fort Lee.
I know the building too. I know the building you were in. So.
The Modern. They were very
kind. The lovely restaurant downstairs.
Betty Wap was a lovely neighbor. Very kind. Only the best neighbors for me. I was in Jersey and New York filming all summer. It's this movie called The Perfect Find. We adapted Tia Williams' book, one of my favorite books, The Perfect Find, about an older woman who finds love with a younger man. I don't know where I I've never seen or heard of that. So we have that coming out. And then I have Cheaper by the Dozen that I did earlier in the spring. That'll be out for on Disney Plus next year. And then another movie called The Inspection, that an indie that I'm doing with Elegance Bratton and Jeremy Pope, that will be out hopefully in time for award seasons. And as far as we had to figure out all the tour stops. So in order to do Philly, Jersey's kind of close. So we did Brooklyn. So hopefully if the book, you know, continues to do well, I can add more tour date stops and come back and hit some states that I wasn't able to hit the first time around.
Yeah, that would be nice. And speaking about movies, you in the book, we didn't get to talk about this. You went back to Isis, which was of course Gabrielle's character in Bring It On. And you said, you kind of analyzed how you decided to play her at the time. And in the book, you talk about what you would have changed now and today and how you would have changed her, which I think is an interesting thing in general, just like rethinking about or relooking about how you portray certain characters. But just share that story a little bit, because I think it's an important one in the book.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about a lot about doing a sequel, right? And last year was the 20th anniversary of Bring It On. And me and our director, Peyton Reed and Kirsten Dunst, we were doing a ton of panels. And everyone's like, is there gonna be a sequel? Is there gonna be a sequel with us? And we were like, we would love to. We're just trying to find the right, you know, take. We wanna make sure that this time around that it's centered on the Clovers and it's centered on, you know, the Black girls and the Brown girls, and that it's written by a Black writer. And as we were talking about it, it made me think about how I had, what I had done and what I hadn't done. Because I was given free rein. I could do whatever I wanted with this character. No one told me what I had to do. I chose to muzzle her and to deny her her full humanity, which also comes with anger. You know, when you are harmed, when someone has stolen from you, you're going to be angry. And I needed to allow her to be angry and very clear about why specifically she was angry. And so like, by the time you get to the end of Bring It On and, you know, they've won nationals and Kirsten's character says, you know, you guys were just better than us. And, you know, Isis goes, we were, huh? Like a question mark. You know damn well we were better than you. And what I wanted to say in the moment was, yeah, when the playing field is truly level and you have to do your own work, you weren't good enough. So sit with that L. Be happy I didn't ask you to acknowledge that you know, those other championships were ill-gotten, you know what I mean? And to renounce those. So take that second place and sit with it, because that's as good as it was going to be, because you were never going to be better than us. Like, why couldn't she, you know, be that kind of leader?
Why do you think you made that decision at that point in your life?
Because you want to be the right kind of Black girl. Can't be too angry. You better be gracious. You better be classy. But the problem about taking the high road, and the reason why nobody's up there, is because taking the high road rarely leads to change or acknowledgement or accountability, right? That's why it's empty. Real change comes from sometimes having to force acknowledgement, to force accountability. And when you're always being gracious and letting people off the hook, they never really understand the enormity of the pain and harm that was caused, yeah. Right? We're always like, you know, be classy. Don't sink to their level. Well, sometimes you have to meet people where they're at in order for them to understand where they were wrong and how to make amends. Mm-hmm. And when we keep letting people off the hook under the guise of class, you're not moving the needle at all. You're actually making it harder, because they're going to continue that terrible behavior and they're going to think it really wasn't that bad. And if you have a strong reaction, you're the problem. Right. And after doing all of that with Isis and muzzling her and making sure that she was gracious and the while we're doing our panel,
she was still sassy though. She
had a little.
She wasn't like meek. You would have given her more. You would have given her more.
Much more.
But also, give yourself a break. You were younger. You probably didn't have the confidence that you have now and the understanding that you have now to have made those type of choices in that moment. And it's part of the growth, you know what I mean?
It was reminiscent of my life, the constant shape shifting to make sure that I was palatable for white consumption, that I was, you know, always centering the white gaze, white comfort, white validation. And at the end of it, during these panels, this meme comes up about movie villains. And who is on the list of movie villains is ISIS. She was a victim who asked for acknowledgement and accountability, and that made her a villain. Even as benign and gracious and all of that, she still somehow there were segments of the audience that made her the bad guy. And it was like, that was so profound to me.
Because Kirsten was the hero, because Kirsten was the, right. Exactly. You know? Oh my God, that's crazy.
ISIS didn't even have a last name.
Yeah.
There were characters in that movie that you literally see, yeah, for
I didn't even know seconds. I didn't even know I cared this much about a new Bring It On. Now I want the new Bring It On. We need a new Bring It On.
We need the last name, damn it.
We should give the woman a last name and let her voice her anger. I wonder too, do you do that with your other characters? Because it's an interesting process that I didn't know that maybe actors do sometimes, where they look at a character that they had and what they could have done better or how they should have, and reevaluating that. And I wonder,
do you do that often,
or is that just ISIS?
It was more of Bring It On, because there was so much conversation around the 20th anniversary. People, like different interviewers, were asking like really interesting questions. Like they clearly had done like dissertations on the movie that made me question it in different ways. And depending on the interviewer, it took on different lives and routes. And I was like, I had not thought of that. And they're like, do you know that most of the early roles that you had in white teen movies, your character didn't have a last name, but literally every other character in the movie had a first and last name? And I was like, hold on. Went to IMDb and was like, that's dark. That's dark. Like, these Black characters don't need a last name. Like, what? That kind of stuff. And it, like, sometimes it takes somebody else saying, were you aware of that? Did you co-sign for that? And I'm like, it did not occur to me. Damn. And so you have to think about it deeper, you know?
Yeah.
We had a conversation last night at dinner about Eva from Deliver Us from Eva. Was she a hater, or was she just trying to save her sisters from some bad behavior that she could clearly see that they were a little?
You do these conversations about your characters in the past. Have you done this with your being Mary Jane
character?
She's pretty great, but yeah, she's also, you know, she's got her challenges.
When she became a bedwetter in season two, yeah, I mean, there's things if I was in control that I would have absolutely changed. It helped me understand how writers' rooms work and you know, all the things that go into shaping a story and breaking a story and having more understanding now, all the things that I would go back and do differently and ask for.
Which is why it's so important to have representation in the writers' room. I hear people talk about that a lot.
All the time.
A lot. Yeah. Let me just get to one more here. I think this is a great question too. Janine Gates said she's thankful to be here, which is such a sweet thing to say. Do you mind talking about, she says, balance and what you do to relax and have balance? Because you are go, 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 go. Even in your fun, it seems like even on vacation, you're go, 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 go. You go hard.
I go hard or go home. So there's a chapter in the book called Fuck Balance, because I actually had to divest from the ideas about balance, because the reality is it doesn't exist. Mm. Balance is this fool's gold that people push on women to make us always feel like we're not doing something right, that we're always behind, that we're always failing. Because you're like, there's this balance that people talk about. I don't seem to have it, but it's out there. It's like the precious and the Lord of the Rings that we're all searching for, but it doesn't actually exist. I think it was just another way of the patriarchy trying to control women into making you always feel like you're not good enough at something and that you're failing at something. The reality is what I can ask for and what it is attainable and is free is grace. Balance is not a thing. Grace, you can give it, you can receive it, but even that is a process of learning how to receive grace, because it can kind of feel like charity or pity. Or when you give grace, you are not conceding defeat. You are saying life is what happens when we're busy making plans and things happen. Mm-hmm. It's okay. You're late. It's okay. You know, you got stuck in traffic. It's okay. Your child, you know, pickpocketed some candy from, you know, the grocery store. Things happen. You know, things happen. And I'm going to give you grace. Instead of having these absolutes, there should be balance. You should somehow be able to be a hugely successful businesswoman, but also, you know, a domestic
bake the cupcakes, bake the cupcakes,
like a sex machine, and give and have time to, you know, for charity, and also be an amazing friend and a daughter and this and that. You can't be all things to all people. There's just not enough hours of the day. But what I can say is today, I'm putting all of my effort into this. So can you guys pick up the slack in these other areas of my life? And it's okay to say, I don't have it today. I am going to rely heavily on my village. And I need help. Mm. That is as much of, and I'm going to use my finger quotes, balance as you can ask for. You know, anything else is going to drive you crazy.
That is such a great, that is such a great advice, because we put so much pressure on ourselves to do that. I heard somebody say one time, balance is, it's like a thing that you're always chasing, but you shouldn't. You should just, it just, it's like a, you're just adjusting. So you always
No one ever asked Dwayne, you know, he was a single guy in the NBA that got full custody of his kids, had 1,001 businesses, still does. No one ever said, wow, Dwayne, as a single parent of, you know, two, how do you balance it all? Never, because they think that when that check clears for a man, that is all the balance that they need. They don't, somebody's going to be figuring it out.
Yeah. Right.
If you're asking that man about balance, please don't ask me about balance, because it doesn't exist. It does not exist.
It does not exist.
It's the tool of the patriarchy.
It's all a lie.
It's a lie.
Balance is a lie. So what is your, I know we have to wrap up, and thank you to everybody for your questions. What is your hope for this book in the world? Like, what is the takeaway that you really hope that people get from this?
I hope that people know that they're not alone. Mm-hmm. I know, especially during the pandemic, when we had to physically isolate from one another and you didn't have your normal support system in place in the same kind of way. And that a lot of us that were struggling with things before the pandemic just exacerbated them. So what I want this book, hopefully, is to create community, to open the door for the sharing of resources, of information, of healing, of acknowledgement, and just let people know that I see you. You are not alone. And let's figure out how to heal ourselves together.
Mm, I love that. Do you think that? I know this is we're just at the beginnings of celebrating and experiencing this second book, but do you see more books for you down the line?
I don't know. There'll be more children's books. Like, we definitely, you know, have, we're right in the middle of Shady Baby Potty Training. It's
so good.
You know, pretty solid now, but, so there'll be more Shady Baby books, because me and Dwayne really enjoy writing those together. But yeah, I need to have more life.
Yeah. You know, but you're also such a great writer and a storyteller. You're such a great storyteller. So that's why I was wondering whether it'd be books, or do you see writing like scripts,
That medium of writing is not really my passion. And there's so many other people that I'd rather put on. Mm-hmm. I'd rather create, you know, try to make sure other people's writing dreams come true than mm-hmm. Taking up more space when it's not really a real Yeah, no, I don't need all the jobs. I don't need all the checks, but I want to try to help make as many dreams, you know, come true as possible. As long as I'm in the room, I'm like, come on, hurry in, come on. But yeah, so we'll see. Maybe there's the great novel in me one day.
That's what I wonder, like some type of fiction, you know.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see where it takes.
Definitely a fiction story in there for sure.
Yeah.
You're such a great storyteller, and the book is amazing. Congratulations. Thank you, everybody, for participating today. What is the thing stronger of choice, by the way, before we go?
You are the thing that is stronger.
Woo! Gab with a bar before we leave.
Listen, last night it was tequila, but today it's you. find that thing stronger in your life and hold on to it with both hands. Hold on to it both hands. And Philly, if I can call you Philly. Continue to trust the process. See how I like to bring it all full circle with a basketball?
So no, you're so good.
Yes. Trust the process. It's going to be okay.
Well, we love you, Mama. Thank you so much for today. Thank you to the Free Library of Philadelphia. And thank you guys for joining us on this conversation. I hope you got something great out of it.
And thank you guys.
Thank you. Bye,
thanks,
everyone.
Thanks, Ange. I'll see you later.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from the Free Library of Great Conversations. If you live in Philadelphia or are planning a visit and would like to attend an author event, information on the series is available at freelibrary.org/author-events.